Morgan, could you advance one for me this morning? Before we get into scripture here this morning, I want to just talk to you about this week a little bit. And let me just start with this. 2,000 years ago, God's plan for redemption altered the world forever. It changed things in a drastic way. The power of sin and death was broken through the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ on that very first Easter. Death was defeated. True life, spiritual life, God's life triumphed in the world. So starting today and through this week, we'll journey together through the events of Holy Week and come alive. And I say that, I want you to come alive in a new way this Holy Week as we join together with God's story. And so here's the things I want you to come alive to. I want you to come alive to Jesus' life. See what it was about. I want you to experience the sacrifice in maybe a different way that you've never done before. And I want you to experience his power, such as on Easter morning when he rose from the grave. Today's Palm Sunday, so we begin with coming alive to Jesus' life, which is above and beyond all human expectation, which you'll learn more about here in my message shortly. On Monday, Thursday, we will not look down in fear our defeat, but we will hold our heads high as we focus on the cross and come alive to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and what he did for you and I. In addition to this, I'm going to encourage you this week to take the time to go through the stations of the cross, which will be held here in our sanctuary. And let me tell you this, maybe you've never done this before. Some of you are thinking, well, what is this about? And you're going to come out of your comfort zone. But I guarantee you, if you do this, and the Spirit of God is upon you, you will come out different, touched in a new way. I've done the Stations of the Cross through different experiences, through seminary, and some of Concilio experiences as well. And they can be very powerful to you and I. And so you will come alive through that as well this week. And then I'm going to invite you back next week, Easter Sunday, as we celebrate the power of Jesus Christ to change people's lives. How many of you in here have been changed through the power of Jesus Christ? Right? Just a couple of you. I have plenty of work to do yet, don't I? So I want you to experience that this week, or what this is about. This is the celebration that goes beyond Christmas. It's a celebration and a holiday that is too underrated for us in the church today. More people need to hear about this Easter in their lives. You live in a world out there today that needs to hear this news. And you are the avenue to tell the world. And sometimes I think we're falling short, people. It's my challenge to you this week. You need to come alive so you can tell the rest of the world about this week. So let's begin. Let's start. Turn with me to your Bible today as we begin in Matthew chapter 21, the story of Jesus' triumphal entry. Some of you might have heard this story quite often. Maybe you've heard it 50, 60 times, depending how old you are. But hear it in a different way today. May the Spirit of God open your ears and your minds and your souls to hear it different today. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell them the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "So to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And if you're wondering, where does that come from? That is out of the book of Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 9. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." That's what we celebrate today, the word of the Lord. I'll save the verse out of Hebrews for a little bit later this morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you bless us with your Spirit. Lord, may you bring your word to life today. Lord, I pray that your Spirit will speak to those that have gathered here and those that are listening online. Lord, may you open their hearts, minds, and souls to receive your teaching. Lord, I pray that these words are your words, and Lord, may you use me in a way to speak to your people today. Bless me with that same Spirit. In Jesus I pray, amen. I have a question for you this morning. Next slide there, Morgan. When your mother calls you by your full name, what do you expect? Right? You've all had that happen to you. I know you have. I've had it happen to me when I was a boy at home, and she even does it yet today, right? Robert Glenn Horstman, what do you expect? You've probably done something wrong, right? And you snap to attention, don't you? You listen closely of what she's going to say to you, and maybe it's your father, too, that spoke those words to you. But get this. This is what I want you to grab from this today. Repeating a person's name in Hebrew is an expression of intimacy. Just like when your mom or dad use your full name to you. It draws your attention that there's something important that you need to know is going to come your way, whether good or bad. So I have a few examples from the Bible I want to share with you that kind of get your mind going around what I'm trying to talk to you about this morning. So you remember Abraham, he's on Mount Moriah, and he's about to sacrifice his one and only son, Isaac. He's on the altar, he's got the knife in the air, and then God says, "Abraham, Abraham." And Abraham listens closely to about what God's going to say to him. Or consider Jacob. He's an old man, and God says, "I want you to go to Egypt." And God says, "Jacob, Jacob." Or the call of Moses in the burning bush. "Moses, Moses, for where you stand is holy ground." Or the call of Samuel to a young boy who's with Eli in the temple. And during the night, he thinks he's hearing Eli the priest yell, "Samuel, Samuel." And yet it was God that was speaking to Samuel. And here's the most famous one of all. When Jesus on the cross says this, "My God, my God." All drawn to give us attention that there's something important that's going to take place here in these verses. So now I want you to jump with me to Palm Sunday. Jesus' triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. They're recorded in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when you see the recordings in all four Gospels, what that says to you and I is that this is an important event that you and I need to pay attention to. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. What does that look like in our lives? And so this Sunday marked the journey that Jesus is going to take to the cross. But really, we know that this journey began long ago before Palm Sunday, don't we? And if you're with me in the book of Genesis, remember Genesis chapter 3, we had that verse that we talked about, right? He will strike your heel and you will crush his head, where we know that God's plan for redemption is already in the works through Jesus Christ. But you know, Jesus' journey wasn't about the immediate circumstances of the day in Jerusalem. It had an impact for eternity that affects you and I. And I ask you the question, how many of you have been changed by Jesus Christ? And I hope that you all are in some way, that God's drawing you in deeper into faith, deeper into living a life with him. And while today marked a triumphal entry, Jesus' journey was not about human approval or human cooperation. It was one of obedience to the Father and fulfillment of his plan for redeeming the world. The people on that day had no idea what was coming, nor did they understand the events that were about to unfold to them. And so as we look at these events that happened on that day in Jerusalem, I have three simple symbols that I want to show you today, and then I want to talk specifically about what does that mean to you and I. Now, you'll notice that I have an animal standing on the stage behind me, and I got to thank Sandy Vintal for what she did here as well. They use this for different things as well. But I said, Sandy, do we have a donkey? She says, yep, we do. And so she got it up here today. And we're going to learn about the donkey today. Why is that so important? All right? And then we're going to learn about these palm branches that have scattered all over up here. And why are they so important to the message for you and I? And then I want you to look over here at this pile of rocks. Why was this so important? And you're going to see that Jesus speaks to the Pharisees and to those that are against him and what's going on in that day, because things got a little out of control. The popularity of Jesus is starting to be well known now. And the culture, the church didn't like what was going on. And they said to him, Jesus, we don't like this. We feel uncomfortable about how you're changing things in the world. And of course, that verse ties to those rocks, and you'll get to hear that this morning. And so these represent the ways he went above and beyond our understanding and abilities in order that we might come alive to Jesus Christ. So let's dig in. Morgan, next slide, please. The donkey. Now take a look at this animal, right? What do you see? What do you think when you see a donkey? All right? Do not be thinking about your spouse, okay? That's not what I want you to think about today. Right? Or your mom or your dad or your neighbor or whoever it might be. But you think of stubbornness, correct? That's what they're known for, right? Kind of stubborn and not easy to work with. And they have their own mind and their own agenda, and you're not going to change that. That's what we think of about a donkey. That's what they're known for. So now, when you think of Jerusalem and Jesus entering the city, it's a logical question to ask you tonight, why a donkey? Of all things, a donkey, right? It's probably not what you and I would have chosen to ride in on if we were in that situation. So at first glance, it might seem that, well, Jesus is riding into a donkey because he's tired and they happen to see a donkey tied up over there and this is going to work out great. It was easy. They could get it. You know, somebody's probably more willing to give up a donkey than a nice horse. We got all those things going maybe through our head. And maybe they went to the local Hertz rent an animal and the camels and horses were gone and they had no option where to go. Right? Do you see? This is what I want you to realize. The donkey went above what they were thinking in that day. It had a meaning behind it, that Jesus was proclaiming something. Jesus was saying something to them through the donkey. And it's the verse out of Zechariah 9, verse 9. Now, you remember, these are Israelites. These are Jewish people. They would have known their Old Testament well. They would have known the verse that I have on the screen when it said, see, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly or humble, and riding on a donkey. They would have known that verse. And so that when they seen Jesus get on the donkey, they would have, oh, wait, that's prophecy. That's our king. He's proclaiming that he's Jesus Christ. He's going to save us. That's what the donkey represented. That's exactly what you were thinking earlier, wasn't it, when I asked you that question? What do you think of the donkey? Right? Do you see how it's above and beyond? And all these things that I'm going to talk to you about this morning. Zechariah 9, verse 9. Jesus proclaimed that he is the Savior. Let's move to the palm branch. Morgan, thank you. The palm branch. Now, notice I have a picture of something on there. How many of you ever been to Milky Way in Sioux Falls? Right? It's a great place to go to get ice cream. And I think they're open already, too, if I'm not mistaken. You can go to Sioux Falls. They have them in Brandon, and they got one in Harrisburg now. They're getting closer to Inwood by the day. Okay, so let's think about the palm branch. Now, I want you to go a little deeper through me this morning. I want you to put yourself in that day. They're waving palm branches, all right? Jesus is coming in on the donkey. They think the Savior is here that's going to get rid of this evil Roman Empire. And life is going to be bliss. He's going to live with us. And life's going to be good for the Israelites, the Jewish people. And so now I want you to think about being G. Milky Way with me for a moment. So imagine that you have a young family, and some of you do. You can totally get this or relate to this. And you get in the car, and you are driving to, they think, your children think, to B&G Milky Way. And you're on your route to B&G Milky Way, and they're talking there. What are you going to get? What are you going to get? I'm going to get the double chocolate brownie blizzard, whatever it is, right? And they're talking about it, and they're talking about it, and they're excited. And then all of a sudden, guess what? You drive right by B&G Milky Way. And their heads turn. Like, what, Dad, where are you going? Mom, why didn't you stop? And you drive to the airport. And you get on an airplane. And you fly to Bora Bora or Hawaii or Mexico, where it's just beautiful and warm, especially after this hard winter, right? You would think that your kids would be so excited. And they're not. Because they expected ice cream. Didn't they? You see, that's what happened in Jerusalem that day. They all thought that they had a Savior that was coming, that was going to change the world in their present time. They all thought that they were going to be in G Milky Way. And see what happened when Jesus came in, and as we get into Holy Week, Jesus literally cruised right by B&G Milky Way because he had a bigger agenda that he was going to accomplish for the entire world that had eternal consequences for you and I. And I'm grateful that he went right past B&G Milky Way because that affects me today and it affects you today and the way that you live your life and that you have salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? That's what it's about. That's what changes you and I today. And so if you like B&G Milky Way, you'll probably never look at that restaurant the same, will you? Or maybe when you go there, you'll be reminded of Palm Sunday and what Jesus did for you and I. Next slide there, Morgan. You see, Jesus' victory was the ultimate victory. It was over sin and over death. It would be more than freedom from their current oppression. You know, this morning I always, I'm just going to give you real life because this is what real life is like. So when I start my morning, many of you know I have this little piece of paper that I carry with me and I have my pen ready and I'm waiting back there in the entryway because people come to me and they share with me, this is what's going on in my life this week. And I need prayer for this or for that, for a family member or for a situation that's occurred in their life. And I came in this morning, it was blank. You see how full it is today? And by the way, I even had to go to the back of people that have needs. Some of the things that you're going to hear on the prayer request here in a little bit are tough things, right? A brother-in-law who has cancer that's bedridden. A mom who's going to be going on hospice tomorrow morning. And along with other stuff on here as well of health concerns. But here's the point that I want to say to you today, church. This is why Jesus came. Because he knows you're going to deal with this. In your family, in your life, you're going to lose loved ones. You're going to be tested. You're going to be tried in this life. And Jesus said, I've come that you may have what to the fullest? Life, right? May this be encouragement to you, church, that Jesus gives life in the brokenness that you and I live in all week long. That's what it's about. He went above and beyond, right past Milky Way, because he knew that you and I would need this. We need Jesus Christ. You guys heard of the news this past week of that school shooting in Nashville. You know, it doesn't matter what school it's in. It doesn't matter who did it. The need for Jesus Christ is huge, isn't it? That's what I'm talking about, church, that you need to come alive. The American church needs to come alive, and they need to start sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, because there is hope that you and I can share for such a broken world today. You know, I want you to think about that day. Not everybody approved of what Jesus was doing. You see that in the world today, right? You've seen that this past week. Oh, he attacked a Christian school. They didn't pray enough. We're not any different than the rest of the world. Expect it to happen to us. Expect to get stricken with disease. Expect to see Christian schools be shot upon, because we're no different than the rest of the world. But what we have is different. The hope that we have. The sin's always going to be there. The brokenness is always going to be there. But the way that we handle it and the way we deal with it is through Jesus Christ. So think about the day that he came into Jerusalem. People are cheering, right? They're excited. The palm branches are waving all around. And still there was many that didn't approve. The Pharisees and the other religious leaders. They were threatened by Jesus' popularity. I mean, this guy's going to change the way that we do church. That's what they're thinking. And he did. He changed the whole entire way that people worship, and the way that they can come to him, and the way that he answers prayer, and the giving of the Holy Spirit to you and I after those days. You know, even Jesus' disciples didn't understand what he was going to do. I have a verse on the screen out of John 12, verse 16. It said this about them. At first, his disciples did not understand all of this. This triumphal entry, heading to the Garden of Gethsemane, letting them know that at the end of the week, I'm going to hang on the cross. But don't worry, I'll be back in 3 days. And they're like, what are you talking about? Right? How can this be? But let me ask you this morning. What about you? Where are you at with everything that's going on with Holy Week? What do you expect from Jesus this Holy Week? What do you expect from Jesus on Easter? What are you expecting? Where's your faith journey? Where's your walk? You know, it's more than a great trip to B&G Milky Way. I hope you see past the earthly things of this life and see the work of eternity that we all need to see. Are you prepared for his power and his victory in your life to go above and beyond those expectations in your life? That's what I want to see out of you. I want you to experience it in a different way. Let's talk about these rocks that are over here. Next slide. Thanks, Morgan. The rocks. So when he rode into Jerusalem, he didn't arrive in order to raise more support. It wasn't like a political campaign, right? Where maybe somebody's running for president or governor and they're trying to drum up business as if, you know what? If I get enough votes, they'll vote me in and things will go well. That's not it at all. That's not what he's after. That wasn't Jesus' goal. He knew exactly what was coming. God laid it out for him. He knew that in the coming days he'd die on the cross. You know, you think about the crowd that day. They're shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. And 5 days later, they're shouting, crucify him, crucify him. We don't like this guy. He's terrible. He didn't give us B&G Milky Way. That's what they thought. But yet, Jesus' purpose never changed. He followed through. He completed the task that his Father put upon him. He never let down. He never quit. He went through with what he was born and raised to do as our Savior. Now, let me read to you the verse about the stones. It's on the screen. If you have it If you want to follow in your Bible, you can. I'm going to read just the last two verses, but there's more around. If you want to read it later, you can, 37 through 40, but I'm going to read 39 through 40 to you. So some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, now you just imagine this is going, it's busy, the street's full of people, and some are excited and they're happy, and this is what the Pharisees said, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples, tell them they're wrong," right? And Jesus says this, "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." And this is what this statement means. Now, I don't know about you, but how many of you ever heard stones cry out? Right? Nobody has, correct? That's the exact point that Jesus is trying to make to the people that were gathered there that day. It seems impossible, right, for the stones to cry out. And that was exactly Jesus' point that he wanted the Pharisees to see. See, the importance of the day wasn't about who sang praises or who had kept quiet. It was about all of creation, which was in need of redemption from beginning to end. If you go to the book of Revelation, chapter 21 and 22, it talks about a new heaven and a new earth with whom on it? The church of Jesus Christ. That's the redemption that he came for. That's the purpose of that day that most people did not understand. And Jesus said, "You can't stop this. This is bigger than you Pharisees. This is God the Father in action." The work of redemption is coming to completion. Next slide, Morgan. Jesus' purpose was not about to be liked or by a majority of the people. You need to understand that this morning. It was about the ultimate sacrifice so that everyone in all of creation could worship God in a new freedom and in a truth that has never been seen before. It was above and beyond earthly understanding. You know, we sit in the privilege of hindsight today. We have the full story in front of us. How many of you, when you something's coming up, and I'm bad at this, you have to go somewhere or you have to do something, and you want to know, what are all the details of the event? What's expected of me, right? How many of you want to know that type of stuff before you get to some type of an event or an activity? Or, you know, you just got to know because then you feel better, right? How many of you can relate to that to me this morning? Yeah. Some of you, I am jealous because some of you, you just go with it, right? And you take whatever comes your way. So think about the disciples on that day. Jesus is telling them, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, but you don't get it, and you don't understand it, and it makes no sense. And those disciples, they're just following along, right? Yeah. They didn't understand what was going on. But you and I, we got the Bible right in front of us today. I believe that it was actually better for you and I to believe today than it was for them in that day that they're walking with Jesus. Church, why is that, that we aren't more alive than the people on the street that day? Why is that? You have more information. You know exactly how it's going to play out. You even know how it's going to end when Jesus returns. We should all be waving our palm branches today. So think about the donkey. Think about the palm branch. Think about the rocks for those that were against Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, "You can't stop any of this. But you're welcome to come along for the ride." Which is an amazing ride when you hitch on with Jesus Christ. So if you're here today and you're wondering what this journey of Holy Week means for you, don't miss God's invitation to come alive. Let it experience, you know, I just pray your heart will experience in a different way. I pray that it's unexpected. I pray that your week has filled with surprises and a few U-turns or crooks in the road, wherever it might be. I pray that Jesus will bring those to you. You know, here comes your verse out of Hebrews 4, verse 16 that I didn't read to you because I wanted to save it to the end. And I don't have it on the screen, but I want you to listen to it this morning. Because when you have Jesus Christ in your life, this is what he says to you and I. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Amen to that, right? That we can be confident that the work is done. The salvation that you and I have, it's guaranteed. It's at hand. It's right here, right now, today, in Jesus Christ. You did a prayer this morning, and you asked God to forgive your sins. And when you come with that prayer, you need to know that in that prayer, God forgives your sins, and that you have eternal life today as a believer in Jesus Christ. My encouragement to you is that you start to live like that. Because it doesn't end here. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Palm Sunday today. And Lord, may your Spirit just charge us in a new way this week. Lord, may our spirits come to life to your work and the things that we get to be a part of this week. Lord, may you bless us in a new way. Lord, may your Spirit fall fresh on those lives that are maybe dead this morning, that just don't have no spiritual life in their souls. Lord, I pray for the soul that's on fire today, that is excited about Jesus Christ, and for all that are in between those two places. Lord, we are the church on the journey. None of us are better than the next. Lord, we are all sinners. Lord, in need of salvation through Jesus Christ. May you bless what we've heard today. And may you use it just to change our lives. In Jesus I pray. Amen.